is invited to come back so that the collective energy of mindfulness will bring us together as an organism, flowing as a river with no more separation. Let the whole Sangha breathe as one body, chant as one body, listen as one body, transcending the boundaries of a delusive self, liberating from the superiority complex, the inferiority complex, and the equality complex.
With hearts established in mindfulness, we are truly present. For sitting and walking meditation, and for reciting the sutras, may this practice center with its focal sangha be supported by the three jewels and holy beings. Well protected from the eight misfortunes and the three paths of suffering, may parents, teachers, friends, and all beings within the three realms be filled with the most divine grace, and may it be found that in the world there is no place at war. May the winds be favorable, the rain seasonable, and the people's hearts at peace. May the practice of the noble community, diligent and steady, ascend the ten bodhisattva stages with ease and energy. May the Sangha body live peacefully, fresh and full of joy, a refuge for all, offering happiness and insight. The wisdom of the awakened mind shines out like the full moon. The body of the awakened one is pure and clear as crystal. In the world the awakened one suffering. In every place the awakened mind reveals love and compassion. Namo Shakyamuni.
perfecting and transforming. We, your disciples, who from the beginning of this time have made ourselves unhappy out of confusion and ignorance, being born and dying in no direction, have now found confidence in the highest awakening. However, much we may have shifted on the ocean of suffering, today we see clearly that there is a beautiful path. We turn toward the light of loving kindness to direct us. We bow deeply to the awakening and to our spiritual ancestors who light up the path before us, guiding every step. The wrongdoings and sufferings that imprison us are brought about by craving, hatred, ignorance, and pride. Today we begin anew to purify and free our hearts with awakened wisdom, bright as the sun and full moon, and immeasurable compassion to help humankind. We resolve to live beautifully with all of our heart. We go for refuge in the three precious jewels. With the boat of loving kindness, we cross over the ocean of suffering. With the light of wisdom, we leave behind the forest of confusion. With determination, we learn, reflect, and practice. Right view is the ground of our action in body, speech, and mind. Right mindfulness embraces us, walking, standing, lying down, and sitting, speaking, smiling, coming in, and going out. Whenever anger or anxiety enter our hearts, we are determined to breathe mindfully and come back to ourselves. With every step, we will walk within the pyramid. With every look, the Dharma Kaya is revealed. We are careful and attentive as sense organs touch sense objects, so all our energies can be observed and easily transformed. May our heart's garden of awakening bloom with hundreds of flowers. May we bring the fragrance of peace and joy into every household. May we plant wholesome seeds on the 10,000 paths. May we never have the need to leave the sangha. May we never attempt to escape the suffering of the world, always being present wherever beings we are. May mountains and rivers be our witness in this moment, as we bow our heads and request the Lord of compassion to embrace us all.
Bow your head to the Nisanga, today is the 10th of February 2011. We are at Dharma Cloud Temple, Up Hamlet, Plum Village. Our winter retreat continues. This morning, we wake up in the morning and the atmosphere is very, very clear and very peaceful. And then about 5 p.m. we hear the sound of the great bell. when we go out of your room, of the house, you are in touch with the early morning, very clean, very peaceful, very pure and transparent. Early morning. And we see the atmosphere outside is very alive. The air was very limpid and peaceful. In Lower Amlet as well as in New Amlet, the air is so limpid and peaceful. And that air is a kind of high quality. This air is from very high quality, and we can open our lungs widely open and breathe in all the highest quality air of this early morning. It's like a treasure of that high quality air. And you can enjoy how much you like, how much quantity you like. And you breathe in deeply and bring the air fully of every alveol of your lungs, and the air with the oxygen went clean our blood, and our blood will have a lot of energy. And that is already the treasure of your health, a great treasure of your health, great treasure of your happiness. There are a number of cities where you don't have that fresh air in the morning. And so early morning, when you wake up, you have to remember that. And you have to enjoy the fresh, pure, limpid air of this morning, of each morning. And you advance toward the meditation hall. Every step must bring us to the freshness, the peaceful atmosphere, to the gentleness of the morning. It gives you a lot of health, more health. Your lungs will be healthier. It will bring more energy to the blood and to your body. And when we open the water tap, that is also a source of happiness. You open the water tap and you feel it's so precious that this water come from very far away, lead to your room. And then you can have hot water, fresh water, with that water, how you can live in our body. They have a lot of water, and we need to have to renew the water in our body. So water and air is two of many sources of happiness, of life, of joy that you can enjoy. In the look from your mind, you know that mindfulness is like the water and the air for your mind. We can say that mindfulness is the source of happiness. It's correct. Because thanks to mindfulness, that you can treasure what is very, you think that is simple, nothing interesting, but with mindfulness you look deeper and you see how precious it is. And so your mind will be happier if you add that word of mindfulness. It means mindfulness is kind of the water, like the air for your mind. So when you breathe in and you have mindfulness, if you breathe in mindfully, and then we can see clearly the breathing in of our breath, the in, the entering of our, the air in with our breath. And so, and then your mindfulness helps you to see that, oh, I am breathing in, I am breathing out. He is an in-breath. The air is entering in my body, my lung, my body. And then your mind fix, rest on the air entering and refreshing your lungs and your body. So your mind dissociates with many other puzzle, agitate thinking. So you breathe in totally, your mind rests peacefully in the air entering into your lung. And we know that we are breathing in, the knowing rests on the air entering. And you know that you are breathing in, and then you recognize that is a kind of knowing, awakening, because usually we breathe in and out, we don't pay attention. But here you are knowing that you are breathing in, you are knowing that you are breathing out. And then you recognize in the same time, while you are knowing the breathing in, you also knowing that there is life. Because there are people who cannot breathe in. They breathe out and they die. But we can breathe in. And then that is why we sing breathe, and you know that we are alive. And we are present, we are living, we are alive now, and we are in touch with the truth that you are still alive. You see, life is still function in your body, in your mind. Every cell of your body is working well. And that is a miracle. Then that in breath can contains many insight. First, you know that where you are. You are here. You are here with the Sangha. You have a teacher. You have good friend around you. And you have friendship, brotherhood, sisterhood. We have many conditions to be happy. A little enlightenment like that, a little insight like that, can pull other enlightenment, pull other insight. You start by your breathing in. And then after in-breath, you say that, oh, I'm still alive. Oh, life is still spreading around me. And then this news brings other news, insight brings other news, other insight, enlightenment brings other enlightenment, and you, it depends on the depth of your mindfulness that your insight is deeper, your vision is deeper. And in the insight that we are still present, and we can go to a deeper, and if I'm alive, and then and my ancestors are still alive in me. They never die. They are existing. They are present in every of my cell. And you can witness that, you can see the truth. My presence is the presence of all the lineage of my family. There is the presence of a stream of evolution. And we see before being a human, my ancestor, other previous ancestors could be animals, could be monocell, and so on. You see a long, deep lineage of your ancestor. Not only your father, your grandpa, great-grandpa, but far, far, far away ancestor. And you breathe for all of them. For your father, mother, grandpa, grandma, all these lineage who went through you and tends to you, they are still alive in you. And when you are happy, all of them are happy. And you transform all the suffering into be aware, happy, now. So little insight like that can contain a big enlightenment, big insight. You can have many, many little insight, and then it's such, and the insight go deeper and deeper and deeper. Every day you do that like that, but the day today is much better than your insight of yesterday. And after tomorrow, it would be deeper. And when your mindfulness and your concentration is deep enough, and then your insight is much deeper. And so it's just, I tell you, it's just the verbal words. By practicing, you discover your own insight is deeper every day, is deeper every day, is greater every day. And when you have that deep insight, it helps you to undo a number of knots in you. That affliction, that hurt, that wounds, you undo by yourself. Your insight helps you to undo by yourself. So, cứu cánh bất khủng khổ, bất khủng khổ, this is a Chinese word. No fear. In Sanskrit is abhaya, abhaya is no fear. And any of us, and everybody, we have some fear, little fear, big fear. And because of that fear, that we are not happy. And the practice is you have to face your fear. You fear what? There's nothing to be fearful then, but this has been transmitted to us by many of generation of ancestors, so we are fear. We are fearful to die. We are fearful to be hungry, and then there is a wave who is growing, growing, growing. There is that way. And then the wave wondering to itself, after up, what happened? Oh, they cannot, oh, I will die. And then the wave suddenly feels so fearful. Oh, I'm growing. However, it's dangerous when it's highest, and then I have to, they cannot, I have to go down, and then I will die. And while growing, they feel that, oh, when I will die and I will be nothing. And then we say that I'm being now, and but I will be non-being. And all these fears come born from a notion have been carried by many generations of our ancestors. And so that notion, we have to achieve the non-fear. Totally non-fear. And that non-fear, and the perfect non-fear, the perfect non-fear Gukan is non-fear. Without that perfect non-fear, your happiness will not be total. It's totally non-fear. The perfect non-fear overcome. The perfect non-fear help us to overcome, to liberate us totally the fear. Where there are many links which bind us, like the links of fear, the link of anger, irritation, jealous, attachment. That is on the bondage which bind you. And then there is doubt. And then the bondage and the doubt. In order to achieve the total non-fear, we have to overcome on the bondage and on the doubt. We must recognize which bondage, which attachment. If you are not free because you are attached to that, to that, to that, and you have in you a number of strings which bind you, you have to recognize one by one. Which one? You have to write back, call each one with its true name. The fear, the attachment, the desire, the craving, the doubt, the arrogance, big ego. And so doubt is very big bondage, big links which tight you, bind you tightly. And so that non-fear, the perfect non-fear, can only obtain when you recognize which bind you. And then you have to undo one by one. You use your mindfulness, your deep insight, deep understanding in order to undo that knot. Sometimes you cannot see by yourself. You live with the Sangha, you ask the big sister, big brother, who asks you, you will ask her or him to help you to undo that negative habit. This morning when I have breakfast with my two attendants, and I see outside, the sunrise is so beautiful. And then I told them that even the sunrise is so beautiful like that, but if your mind is linked with many bondage and fear and attachment, and then you cannot see the sunrise, the beautiful sunrise. Yesterday, I walked with 8 aspirants of Afhamlet, and on the legendary path, I call that path legendary path, and then we go to the room, my hut, and then I And the aspirant prepared tea for me, and I said that you belong to the family of violet bamboos. I don't know that we will be ordained in here or in the Institute of European Institute of Applied Buddhism. And I said that according to Asian culture, the bamboo represent the hero, a gentleman. A gentleman is beautiful like a bamboo. They do not keep anything inside. The bamboo have nothing inside. It's everything is empty. No hurt, no wounded, no care, craving, no anger. When your body, your mind is empty of all these attachments, and then you can enjoy the beautiful sunshine, or the beautiful tree, or the beautiful lake of grass underneath. But if you have many attachments inside, you are not a gentleman or gentlewoman, because you carry so many worry, anxiety, prejudice. So we practice like a bamboo. Everything inside must be empty. Undo it. Do it. The emptiness, the vacuum, the nothing inside of the bamboo is like the practice of on the gentleman, gentlewoman to empty on the knot, on the difficulty, the hurt, the wounds inside. And we have a number of friends in the practice, sister, brother in the practice, who can show you the way how to go out of your difficulty. That here is a kind of sharp knife. And that arrow, sharp arrow, sharp knife, is the craving. In our heart, there is still an arrow of craving. Among the biggest craving is craving to possess, I think. Existence. Bhava, existence. Bhava in Sanskrit is mean existence. Being. Being, we are crave to be. The crave to the being is the opposite of non-being. Because you cannot remove the need to be. Of being, that craving. And if you cannot take off that arrow, and then you have no freedom yet, and you recognize and you remove it, and you are empty like a bamboo. Yellow bamboo or violet bamboo is all empty with all these attachments, all these hurt, wounds, craving, doubt, ego. So if you cannot take out on this bondage, and then your body is like, your body could be the cause of danger. Your body could be the place for all the danger if you cannot remove all this bondage. If you don't know how to look deeper, so our body can bring us to a number of danger, accident. Not only the Buddha said so, but Tao also. In Taoist, they also said so. Because we have this body, and then we have accident. In the body is contained a number of seed of accident. And the seed of accident is a kind of arrow called arrow of craving, the craving arrow. That craving arrow is still there in your body, and your body still have the factor of action of accident danger. Lao Tzu said that I have accident because I have this body. In the Aryama Sutra, the Buddha did say that your body is a deep ocean, and the ocean is containing a lot of hidden wave, and this hidden wave, it can contain many monsters. It looks like very peaceful and serene, but there is a number of monsters hidden in the ocean and can come up like a big wave will drown you. So your body is the same. You look this man like a very gentleman, very nice, very good, handsome gentleman, great character, and you think that he is very truthful, a true gentleman, true good man. And that woman is also a true gentlewoman, but in him is many hidden wave of monster, and in her also many hidden wave of monster, because he did not search up yet. Like it cannot come up like a tsunami and can drown you in the ocean of danger. So don't trust on the serene surface of the ocean, and when the wave of monster of craving in him, of big craving in him or in her come up, you cannot prevent. And so the Buddha is really a poet. He said that your body is like a deep ocean, full of wonders, but full of dangers. And the Buddha said your five sense organs, and the sixth one is your mental eye, ear, nose, tongue, body, and then also your mental ocean. The ocean could be wonderful, but could be a danger. And so even the eyes of the person is so beautiful, it looks like a serene lake in autumn. And don't think that is her eyes is very dangerous, because there is a hidden monster inside. And when the monster appear in her eyes, it's very appealing, and you do something very not not very healthy at all. And so, and the Buddha is such a poet. At the beginning, I said, the body is a deep, beautiful ocean. Your eyes is a deep and beautiful ocean. And so I know it's a good poet. But the Buddha continued, but it contains many hidden, dangerous waves, like a monster can drown you. And so I said that you can ride on the ocean, that beautiful ocean, with mindfulness. But with mindfulness, you know that tsunami is coming, you have to avoid. Or big wave is coming, you try, with mindfulness, you try to avoid that hidden monster wave. The eyes is a beautiful ocean, but also dangerous. And your ear is also a wonderful ocean too. Your ears can hear so many sweet words, so many beautiful words, and then you thought that is fine, it's correct, but slowly you are drowned without knowing. So your nose is also an ocean, wonderful ocean, but hidden wave of monster. And so the smell is so appealing. In France, there is a perfume with the title, I Will Be Back. I mean, you just smell that perfume and then you will be back. You cannot avoid to come back to see her. And that smell is like a link, will bind you. You just hear that smell of that perfume and then you cannot avoid to come back. So your eyes is a deep ocean, your ear, your nose, your tongue, on a deep ocean, wonderful ocean, but contain many dangerous monster waves. And your body is also a wonderful ocean, but with a lot of dangerous wave. So, because in the body of each one, there is the arrow of craving inside. And if condition is favorable, the craving come up like a monster and drown you. So, in the teaching that we learn, of the Buddha that we learn, we have five manners. Five manners. With five manners, it looks like very small. It's a few hundred five manners. And you don't pay attention. You say that I'm a very good person already. I have been in the Sangha for many years already. So you despise. You don't think that, wow, I'm a big brother, I don't need to go with a second body. Why I need? I'm a big brother already. But things can happen. An accident can happen. And so I always told a young brother, or a young sister, I don't know. She M means a brother, sister. Thaisadana. First, Thaisadana, you have to practice your five manner properly. If your mind is not empty yet, if you don't have enough freedom inside of your body, of your mind, and then what I ask you is to keep your five manners properly. If you keep your five manners properly, and you have nothing to be fearful, and then your agitated mind will be settled down slowly, slowly. If you keep your five manners properly, and then your agitated mind will be settling down slowly, slowly, and you are in peace. And so the patriarch is very good. Very good. They invent a number of small five manners. It look like nonsense, but nonsense for you. But some have some arrow which go with that. So you need to keep the five manners. You need to keep the five manners. And then, because when it's red light, normally you say that, oh, there's no car in the other side, why do I try to pass by? But this pass by a number of small rules like that, and then it will be very dangerous. And so if you keep five manners correctly, meticulously, each five manners correctly, the tsunami, the monster wave will never come up, cannot come up, or it come up, you are protected because you are with two brothers or two sisters or many, many people and members of the Sangha around you. And so you are protected with the five manners. Because that arrow of craving come up and you want to do something wrong, but many people around you prevent you. And so there is a Vietnamese folk poem saying that, if I love you, I have to listen to your advice, but sometimes carried away by joyful atmosphere of friends, I forget your recommendation and I make many mistakes. And so he revoked that. And then I forget on it. I handle one hand liquor and another very good appetite food, and I enjoy so much appetite and aperitif food, and then I drink liquor, I drink and I eat some appetite and I drink liquor, and I forget your recommendation, the recognition of my beloved wife, and I enjoy so much and I get drunk, I made many mistakes. So tight cầm bầu rượu nắng nem, it means I handle the bottle of liquor, and the other hand I handle a kind of aperitif appetite food. And then I enjoy so much talking and friendship around, and then totally forget what you recommend, not to drink too much. And I finally get drunk and make many mistakes. So that is folk song, folk poetry. Once you cannot take off that arrow of craving, of many things, not only craving, but there is many monsters in your body. You never know. At the beginning, how do you know? How do you know that the body is a danger? If you don't realize that this is a kind of an arrow of desire, of craving, of anger, of a lot of craving, negative energy in us, we don't know. And if you cannot take up this, on this arrow, it could be a very big danger, big great accident of your life. This may happen. The 34 verses shall be cứu cánh giả, cứu cánh here is profession. What you call perfection? What you call totally perfect? Among those you call totally perfect? For the communist, the total perfection is the heaven of Marxist-Leninism. But for us, the total perfection in us is, many Buddhists, is Nirvana. The greatest perfection is Nirvana. Nirvana or Nibbana is spelled on Sanskrit or Pali, is total freedom. Only in that atmosphere that you have a true liberty, true freedom without fear. The Buddha said that there is a space where there is no fear, no birth, no death, no coming, no going, no being, no non-being, no existent, no non-existent. And that space exists now and here, not when you die and you go to other place. But this space of no coming, no going, no up, no down, no fear, no craving, nothing, is that space, that atmosphere, that space exists here and now in this very moment. And if you can overcome all this agitation and then you reach that space, and then space, outer space, is mean that, it's mean like the, and when the wave are jump up and down and full of fear and agitation, and if somebody remind the on the wave, dear waves, there is one space, outer space, where you can come up, no fear, come down, no fear, no pride, no humility, no complex inferiority, no low self-esteem. And then you have to discover that space without space. And that space without space on the wave are water. And if they are water, they recognize that they are water. It's okay. They come up, okay. Come down, okay. It looks like they die, but they are also water. And so they just recognize that outer space in this very space. And then they reach Nirvana. Nirvana is that place, outer space, but in the very place. And so in other verses they say that like the on the deer, like to the countryside, and on enlightened people like to live in Nirvana. Nirvana is mean that you go, you wait until you die and you go to somewhere. No. Nirvana is here and now in this very moment. And so you have the deer like the countryside, the enlightened people like to touch Nibbana. So Nibbana is the perfect. Nibbana is the cutting totally on the notion, on the perception in you. You have an image in you, that is a perception in your head. You look at the person, you look at the person, you look at an event. You have a notion about that event, about that person. That is a perception about that person. Is that perception is still imperfect. You only see 10%, but you are so sure that you see 100%. So it's better that you extinct on this 10%, 20% partial perception of reality. Cut totally on this perception in order to reach the totality of that reality. And then no coming, no going, no up, no down, no. So that is the extinction of all the notion in you, image and construction of image in your mind. You have to extinct them all. All the wood also deceive you. All the perception, all the attachment, you have to cut them all. Extinct them all. Don't be deceived by all these notion. Because when you say Nibbana, right away in your head there is a notion about Nibbana, and it's wrong. And when you say a kingdom of God, there is also a notion about kingdom of God, and it's wrong. You have to extend on in order to be in the kingdom of God, to be in Nibbana. You are the most wonderful of all the wonders is Nibbana. And in order to have Nibbana, you have to extinct. You have to cut all the attachment of your notion of on the word, on the words, the sentence, explanation, free them all and be in touch totally. Tiếc here, we can understand that moderating, moderating. Live with moderation, simple, with moderation. Don't be too extremely like that or too extremely the other side. You live in a way very simple, very light, on the way of eating, the way of sleeping, the way of working. There is some moderation. Have simple living. Or you know how to moderate, or you do not know how to moderate. You have to organize your life where you can live simpler. Don't go to the extreme of anything. Eating, sleeping, resting. You don't go to the extreme side. Moderate them, simpler. And then you have the lightness. You have to increase, release. You have to release the best that you can release. You can release at your utmost best. And release what? Your idea about being and your idea about non-being. And his samskara. Formation. For instance, you said that bodily formation. Your body is also a formation. That pen is formation. The table is formation. Formation is things come from many conditions. Many conditions come together, it makes something, and that something is a formation. Thanks to many conditions, your father, your mother, good condition of receiving the eggs and the fetus, and so your body is a formation. And when you look at you, you see that this kind of physiological formation, samskara, and you see clearly that inside of this body there is earth, fire, wind, water, there is tree, there are cloud, there is river, there is everything. in this very body. That is a formation. And you sit and you look deep and you see that things, the element which is not your body, are also your body. So you look the cloud on the sky, you think that the sky have nothing to do with you, but it's also in your body. Because without the cloud, there is no rain, no water who entering into your body. And so you think that, and when you look deep, you see that the cloud have something to do with my body. And you see that the tree, you look superficially, you see that the tree have nothing to do with me, but you look deeper, you see that, oh, this tree give oxygen for me to breathe too. And you step on the grass and you say that the grass have nothing. No, the grass have a lot of things to you, because the grass also give oxygen. And if you go to the moon, you see there's no grass and you cannot breathe. And so some branch of the tree is also you. Don't think that that branch of that tree is outside of you. You have to see the interbeing, the interdependence, deeply linked to each other with that person and you, that things in you. In the past, everything, a book, the sun, my heart. That book, the sun, my heart, is teaching the methods we learn to look deeply and to practice mindfulness. And so it's come from that insight. Because every one of us think that we have our own heart, and we think that we care a lot about our own heart. Very precious. If that heart stops to function, you die. And that you would take good care of your heart only. But you look deeper and you see that that sun is also your heart. If that sun starts to function, you die too. Right away. So when the sun stops to function, you die immediately. So your heart also stops, you die immediately. So the sun is also your heart, but your heart is your heart, of course. But the sun is also your heart. But we don't have only two hearts, but the tree is also me. Without the tree, without any tree in this planet, you also die. And without everything, when you look deep, we enter on everything are us. The tree, the plant, the sunshine, the air, the river, all are us. And so, your lungs seems to be your own lungs, and your lungs do not function, you die. However, if you see the forest is breathing, and it gives a lot of oxygen. And then, you can breathe. And then can visualize without the forest. How you can breathe? And so any city now, they must have a central park in order to be the lungs of the city. That central park is the small lungs of the city. And when you feel a lot of sadness, and then you make a walk in the Central Park, it helped a lot. And then you have to see the Central Park as your lungs. And then you have to take good care of your lungs inside, but outside too, that park. And many trees around you too. And the rainforest are the best lungs of you. And when you see the interdependence, the interbeing of all things, and then you can see the formation. At the beginning, you think that formation is something, a little piece, separate little piece. But if you look deeper, all these little pieces are one. And so Nirvana is nothing about theoretic, nothing about intellectually thinking, but you have to taste, you have to touch the true nature of Nirvana. You release the notion about being, the notion about non-being. Well, being, the reality of being is may be different from your notion about being and your notion about non-being. So, in the verses before, you learn that, dear bhikkhus, look at the world. You see there are things who are born, but there is also the non-born and non-existence. Yes. And then when you are in touch with the Nirvana already, you release the notion about born or non-unborn. And you transcend both. You are one with both. You are Bhavatam. Bhavatam, Sanskara. Noi, tự nhiên. Noi is inside. Inside of your mind, you have Dhyana, tư duy is Dhyana. Tư duy Dhyana. Dhyana, tư duy tu. You practice with your mind. Inside of you, you have to train to look deeper. And you look deeper like tư duy. And then you look deep, deep. And then, like a egg, when the little chick, the baby chick, can open the egg, and the baby chick can open the egg and free itself. So the mother tried to cover the egg with the warm. The heat, until the heat is enough, and then the baby chicks start to have feather, everything ready, and then they open the eggs. And so the enlightenment is the same. You have to practice to look deeper and deeper and deeper, like you cover the eggs in a very warm atmosphere. So, and Thais, in his memory, he said that when I went to United States, I brought along with me an X, and security check cannot see that X. But when I arrived to United States, I have an atmosphere of very quiet in the university, Princeton University way. So if he have a quiet atmosphere, and then the X open, and then he have many, many deep insight from that atmosphere. And so the inside of each of us, we have that deep look, Tien Tu Jui, the practice of looking deeply, and then one day, when the condition is enough, and then the baby chick can open the eggs and get out. This on this image is so poetic. The Buddha is real poet. So this gatha we can translate like we must know there is moderation or there is no moderation. That is the best way to release your idea about being and non-being, and the idea about formation. You see, he repeat, you see moderation or non-moderation, that the best way for you to release on your notion about being and non-being, your notion about samskara action. I try to translate. To be controlled or to be not to be in control is the best. To release the notion of being and formation. Inside of us there is a practice. Dhyana. Dhyana, it means stopping and looking deeply. Deep inside, we perpetuate the practice of looking deeply and samatha, stopping and looking deeply. And then when condition is ripe, and then the baby chick will feel mature and can make, break the eggs and get out. 33rd. The greatest non-fear will be attained when you know how to liberate on the attachment, on the link, and then you will be perfect non-fear will be realized when we know how to remove on the bondage and doubt. The non-fear, the absolute non-fear, the perfect non-fear could be realized when we undo all the bondage and the doubt. Without uproot the arrow of craving, and then you have to see that this body is like an accident. This could be the cause of many accidents. I translate, as far as you cannot take it out on the arrow of craving and bondage, and you cannot see that your body is a true danger. 34th. on things what we call perfect. Among all the things we call perfect, Nirvana is the best of the perfect things we can have. We have to cut on the attachment and on your notion, make extinct on your notion, and don't allow on these words to deceive you. Could be beautiful word can deceive you. Among the things that people call the most divine, topmost, Nirvana is the highest. You must cut off all ideas and attachment and do not be deceived by words. We learn the last gatha. Chúng khi pháp thi thắng, yes, I know Vietnamese. Among on the offering of the teaching is the most precious. Among the gift you can give to people, the gift of teaching of the Buddha is the most precious gift. You offer the practice, people can put into practice and they transcend their suffering. You can give money, you can give medicine, you can give food, but there is the great suffering that food, money cannot help them, is the offering, the gift of teaching, the gift of practice. Who can help people to get out of their suffering. That is the best gift. And the joy to practice the Dharma is the best gift you can offer to people. To enjoy the practice is the best thing you can offer to friends. Among all the strength, forces, power, among all the forces, all the powers, among all the strengths, endurance, forbearance is the best. The most powerful. Forbearance is the most powerful. Your heart must be very large in order to have forbearance. And in order to have a big heart, you need to understand deeper. Without understanding, you cannot force your heart to be large. And with understanding, you can overcome and you can accept, you can forgive, you can love. But without understanding, you cannot force you to love, to accept. So the most, and the gift is the word gift, and the best. That is energy on this word here, right on the board. Yep. Energy. Generosity. Joy. Happiness. And strength. When the passion, the craving stop, and then your happiness manifest. there's many, many ways to give. It's a gift that practice is the highest. Because it's give happiness. And we finish. Thầy Đồng Từ have a new name, Pháp Đồng Từ. Pháp, there is the word Pháp in front because Thầy Phan Pháp have the name Pháp Tuyển. Selection. Pháp Tuyển. And Thầy Minh Sang is Pháp Tuyển. The same writing but accent different. Pháp Tuyển is selectioning. Pháp Tuyển is a Greek. And Pháp Đồng Từ. Greek.